With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
It's week 9 in DFS. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the DFS podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia, and today's guest is one of my favorite humans on the planet who happens to also be one of the great analysts, hosts, sports people that I know. You know him from FTN, but he is so much more than that. He's the one, the only, the Canadian destroyer himself. Chris Meaney is back on the program, and we are going to break down that Week 9 slate because, well, it deserves to be broken down. And Chris Meaney, you and I were talking before the show. This is a weird one this week. It's the buys, it's where the teams are playing in some of the night games, but also just the talent that's on the board here at this point in the season. This is the first time all year where I've been a little hesitant with this slate, and I feel like this is going to be an extra special show where you and I get to really break this one down because it really needs it. This one is not going to reveal itself. We're going to have to crack it open and go piece by piece and try to put it together.
What an intro. I love joining shows with you, obviously. One of my favorite times to get together, whatever sport it is that we're breaking down. But man, you're right. Week 9, just looking at it, there's a lot of games that I've just kind of crossed off my list. And maybe that's a mistake. We could really walk through this together, which we will. But you know, you look at the board, there's not a lot of high total games. And, you know, we've seen weeks with four or five matchups into the mid 50s in terms of point totals. We're not really seeing that this week across the board. I mean, Green Bay and KC will probably be a pretty popular one, but there's some weird games. There's some teams in really tough spots in terms of matchups. And there's some, just, I think, some games which will be an offensive struggle this week, man.
Well, and even when you're talking about, like you mentioned, Green Bay, right? And KC, normally that would be a game we'd be all excited about last year, right? I feel like we'd be all, it's going to be a great game, all this stuff. KC's limping in there. I don't know. It's just, it feels very off. There's something about this week that feels off, but we're going to do our best to figure it all out. And I know it's very, you know, tenuous with some of the injuries as well. And I think this is going to be one of those weeks, Chris, and you know what I'm talking about, where things get weird. It's going to be one of these games that kind of comes out of nowhere that you're not expecting. There's going to be the difference maker. And I think we're going to try to identify one or two of them this week that might be the weird oppo plays that nobody saw coming. Maybe the kind of like the Jets of last week, right? The play that nobody's probably in on, but maybe we should consider, because it feels like this is that kind of week where everything gets turned on its head and things that you think look simple end up looking anything but.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Michael Carter was one of those guys last week that, you know, just kind of showed up and the Jets. And who would have thought? I mean, last week was such a strange week, too. Maybe we're just going to have a string of strange weeks. I mean, you look at some of the quarterbacks last week. I mean, Justin Fields has a great day. Mike White finishes a top 10 quarterback. Geno Smith, the top 10 quarterback. Like five of the top 12 quarterbacks were just not even owned in most leagues across like Yahoo or ESPN or wherever it is that you play. So maybe we'll just, maybe it'll carry over here and we'll be into some weird weeks, you know, another couple weird games that we can get into. But there's also a lot of, you know, good players on bye this week as well. Yeah. So it does open up for, you know, players that maybe you wouldn't have used before in the past that you can use this time.
And just for pouring some lemon juice into the cut here, last week, two rushing touchdowns. Jimmy Garoppolo had two. Boston Scott, Jordan Howard, James Conner, right? One player had 100 rushing yards, and it was Justin Fields. So there you go. So what a bizarre week of football it was. So hopefully we can, get back on the horse this week a little bit. Before we do, I want to remind everybody, head over to our DFS Optimizer over at fantasypros.com/optimizer. You can save yourself hours of research. It'll let you tweak all your lineups as much as you want while locking and excluding certain players to create your own custom player pool. It uses projections our optimizer does that are constantly being updated, and you can import your own custom projections if you like. It supports FanDuel, DraftKings, and Yahoo contests. You can generate up to 150 lineups at a time, Chris Meady. Can you believe that? With our multi lineup generator and optimized lineups for GPP contests as well. You set player exposure limits. All that can be yours with fantasypros.com/optimizer. Again, our optimizer, one of the best in the business. And if you just want to talk some more football, head over to Discord and join us. It's free to join fantasypros.com/chat. I'm in there every single day, and I'm in there multiple times a week running a stage. So basically, it's free to join our Discord chat, right? But our premium subscribers get access to dozens of extra channels, including the AMAs, where you get to ask me, Joey P, all kinds of questions personally about life, about football. It doesn't matter. I also host the stages on there too, several times a week, where it's like a call-in radio show. You literally can hang out. I pull you on the stage and you talk to me, and we hash out things on your team, trade offers. It doesn't matter. And it all happens at fantasypros.com/chat. It's a remarkable group of people. I'm telling you, we have so much fun in there. It is a community. It is great. I cannot stress this enough. Discord is where it's at with us over at Fantasy Pros. So if you haven't already, join the chat at fantasypros.com/chat. That being said, Chris Meany, let's attack the cash games. Let's try to get some of those big money people. Let's start at running back. And tell me, at running back, who is it that you're looking for this week in the big cash money games? Who are you paying up for at RB?
So I'm going right up at the top of the board here, and I'm going to spend on Alvin Kamara in a matchup against the Atlanta Falcons. So last week, you know, we saw a little bit of Mark Ingram. The band is back together again, and it was so great to see the two talk in the, you know, the post-game conference and joke and laugh about, you know, just old
that
times,
was hilarious,
right?
By the way.
It was. It really was. It was so great to see. And just to see the smile on Kamara's face. He was like a kid on Christmas. I mean, Ingram was as well. It's like, hey, we're back together again. And it was one of the best 1-2 punches back in the day. You know, Ingram still has something to offer, but there was a lot of encouraging things from Alvin Kamara in that game. He still had 19 carries. He found the end zone. He wasn't that efficient on the ground. He only had the 61 yards, but this is a good spot against the Falcons. They're inside the top 10 in rushing yards allowed, bottom 10 in rush DVOA, according to Football Outsiders. He didn't catch a couple passes, and I'd like to get your thoughts on what the situation would be in New Orleans. Is it going to be Taysom Hill? Because we have a little bit of a history when it was Taysom Hill as opposed to Drew Brees. Like, the targets really were cut in half for Alvin Kamara. So that is one thing that I will be monitoring this week if Taysom Hill is ready. Reports say that he's progressing from a concussion, but it's not certain that he's going to be starting. But I do believe the Saints, they play at a slow pace. They want to run the rock. They're running the football basically more than any team so far this season. There have been some big catch games from him, but even still at this price, in a good spot at home against the Falcons, I think that we could probably project about 20 opportunities for Alvin Kamara, and that's what I want out of my running back if I'm going to spin up at the top.
You know, everything you're saying about the Taysom Hill stuff is certainly enough to give me pause, and it has at times. But, you know, there was, I think, an incomplete there. It was a short period of time. One of those games also happened to drag everything down, because you remember it was that game against Kendall Hinton playing quarterback where the New Orleans Saints did nothing. They just basically sat there and kind of they had tea, and then they just kind of every now and then ran a play, and it was nuts, but it kind of pulled down the average Kamara with Taysom Hill stats. I go back to the matchup against the Falcons here, and I think that's where I go. It's at home. It's against the Falcons, a team that still, you know, the tackling, the physicality is just something that the Atlanta Falcons don't do, and you see it on a weekly basis for the most part. So for me, I think that outweighs any concerns about Taysom Hill, but you're right. It is expensive, and it's definitely something to at least discuss. For me, the where I'm going to is Austin Eckler. That's the guy I'm going to go to with my big cost here. And Alvin Kamara, is 9,400 over on FanDuel. Over on FanDuel, Austin Eckler's is 9K. So you save 400 bucks here. You know Eckler is probably good for somewhere around 6-7 targets a game. You know he has touchdown equity. I think this is a very good matchup coming up here for, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles are 24th against the rush, believe it or not. And Fletcher Cox didn't go anywhere. He's still around, but you know what? They're still 24th against the rush. So to me, this is one of those games that I'm going to be in on, and I feel like I'm in on the Chargers this week. There's going to be a theme going on. But, Chris, when you're looking at Eckler, to me, you know, even on DraftKings where you see, you know, Kamara's 8,200, Eckler $300 cheaper there, in the full-point PPR, I love Eckler in this matchup this week.
He's actually my favorite back on the board. I mean, you let me go first, but you know, I had a feeling that you may be in on the Chargers this week, and I don't blame you. I mean, they're in a really good spot. I'm surprised. I made the bet over at ftmbets.com on Sunday night, 2.5, the spread for the Chargers in Philadelphia, and it's kind of gone the other way. Now I'm seeing that they're only favored by 1.5. I think this is a really good spot for the entire offense to bounce back, and you're right. The Eagles have struggled against the run. Fletcher Cox or not, they've really struggled all year stopping the run. And if you look at just overall from a fantasy point standpoint, Joe, I mean, they're allowing the second most fantasy points to running backs, the most on this slate. They're inside the top 10 in targets allowed per backs, 8.8, catches 7.6, and receiving yards at 54.4. And Austin Eckler is amazing, right? He's unbelievable. He's that true bell cow back this year. He's getting used differently than he did last season. After week two, he had more carries inside the 5 and inside the 10 than he had of all of last season. So they're really using him in a way that he should be used. And I can't argue that pick, man. He is the best RB on the board, especially in cash.
Well, we got two good options there that are worth paying up for. And Kamara and Eckler are definitely two of them. So let's switch gears to wide receiver now. Meaning when you look at the wide receiver board, who is your guy that you think is worth the premium?
So, I mean, I'm spending all the bucks here up at the top. I know we talked about Green Bay and KC, but I think you need to go with Hill. Tyreek Hill just had a monster game, and I don't know what the heck is going on in KC. It seems like teams have tried to figure – it seems like teams, Joe, honestly, have figured them out a little bit, and KC's being stubborn where – they're a team that averages 5 yards per rushing attempt, but they don't want to run the football. They want to throw the football, and Tyreek Hill had a lot of usage last week, and Travis Kelce has kind of had a couple quiet games.
We're in the high price section right now. We are in the Whole Foods, if you will. That's where we are. We're gonna make three different meals today. One's gonna be from you know, Whole Foods, and it's gonna be all organic, and it's gonna taste really good, but it's gonna cost us an arm and a leg. And then we're gonna, you know, make a meal from ShopRite, and then we're gonna go to the farmer's market. We're gonna pick some good stuff up later on. It's gonna be fun. And nice. I'm getting hungry as we continue to talk about this here. That, by the way, when we get to the fantasy fly around and talk about all these games, that Green Bay KC game, I got some feelings on. So stick around there, because I think this is one we're gonna talk about. And you're right, they have gotten figured out. To a certain extent, they are predictable and they are stubborn. I think you nailed it. That's exactly what's going on. And why wouldn't you be stubborn? You're Patrick Mahomes, for God's sake. But more to come on that game later on. I'm going to go with Deebo Samuel because, you know, eventually we've all got to just come to the realization there that Deebo Samuel is just getting it done. I mean, the guy, he really is. He is so consistent there. Last few games over in the half-point PPR, 31 points, 14 points, 17 and a half points, and then 20 points last week. I mean, the guy is just pouring it on there. So, you know, the big play is in there. You know it's possible. Jimmy G loves him. And the Arizona Cardinals, look, defensively have been good this year, but I think they're starting to wear down a little bit right now. As you saw, the easier schedule sometimes them take advantage of, and then they start to play some better offenses and you see it coming around a little bit. But what's great about Deebo is not only is he getting the targets, but he also gets the ball in lots of other ways too, which is always something that, you know, the more you touch the ball, better it is for fantasy. And I struggled kind of with the top wide receiver that wasn't named Adams this week. So Adams was my guy. So now I'm flipping it on you, meaning Adams was my dude. And I was like, outside of Adams, I don't really know. I feel like Debo's a really good, safe investment, but he has upside too, and that's what you're looking for. QB was easy. QB, it's all Josh Allen. And the reason why I love Josh Allen so much is not only because he wears my old number 17, but also because Josh Allen, you don't have to run out there with anybody else. Like, you can run naked Josh Allen out there, and it's going to be a fun party. He's going to put up 25 to 35 points, somewhere in that range. So, yeah, he's 9K on FanDuel. I get it. He's super expensive on there. I understand. I don't care. He's 8,200 top of the board over on DK. Don't care. What's great about Josh Allen is that he doesn't necessarily favor one guy. So you don't have to worry about, well, I've got to get Stephon Diggs in this lineup. Last year was totally Diggs. Now he is so proficient spreading the ball around, doing all this stuff. He's got the touchdown equity himself, not only for throwing the ball, but for rushing touchdowns too. look, it's a smash matchup against a team that is just, look, I think we can both agree that the Jacksonville Jaguars are just not in the same class as the Buffalo Bills. And I think Josh Allen's going to put on a show, dude. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, they're a complete mess. I watched that game pretty closely last week because I had a lot of players in one of my home leagues. I had James Robinson and the DK Metcalf and Marvin Jones. And what I saw was Geno Smith picked them apart, right? Like, no shots here at Geno Smith, who has really just struggled. And at the same time, Seattle hadn't really allowed him to throw the football. It was like, no, what? We're just going to run the football here. Third and 10. Nah, we're just going to call a little screen. Like, no shot to get a first down. They never really gave him an opportunity. They felt like they, you know, here's an opportunity against the Jags team, which you can take advantage of. And now you got Josh Allen there. So I love it. I wanted to say one thing about Debo, and I know you know this, but he leads the NFL in receiving yards per game. Not Cooper Kupp. Debo Samuel, 117, right? Quietly. I know he's had some monster games, but I see his receiving yard prop. Last week it was at 66, and he had 171. It was his fourth 100-yard game. And 171 was not even a season high for him. He had a .189 in week one, so it's a great call by
you. Well, I was going to say, the .189 in week one, they really kind of, that certainly pads the total for the rest of the season. But, you know, if Cooper Kupp wasn't having the season he was having, we'd be talking more about Debo Samuel, I think. I think that's fair to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. The other quarterback that I think is a decent cash game play is Lamar Jackson, right? I mean, he's very similar in terms of points per game to Josh Allen. You were talking about how you can play him naked just alone. You do the same thing here with Lamar Jackson against Minnesota. You know, fresh off a bye here. Harbaugh has always been, you know, top notch, really, when his team is on a bye. 7-3 on DraftKings, so you're going to save yourself, you know, $900 by going to him over there. And the same sort of deal, you're going to save yourself $700 over at FanDuel, averaging 24 FanDuel points per game. Allen averaging 26, and then over on DK, the same sort of deal, two fewer points per game with Allen up at the top at 28. So Lamar Jackson, we know all about the rushing floor. We know that he can give you about 40 rushing yards, which is like starting with a touchdown, but some of the games that he has had on the ground, 86, 107, 58, 62, 51, 88, it's like starting with two free touchdowns here. So you can just kind of bank in anywhere from 6 to 8 points as your floor, just what he's going to give you from his rushing. And if he could hook up with Rashad Bateman, I saw a couple games from him. He played way more than Harbaugh expected him to play in the first game, said he did a lot of good things and that he wanted to keep him on the field. So another week of practice with him, and, you know, you add Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews, there's still some weapons in there. And I don't know, where does their run game come from? I don't know. It's sprinkled in a bunch of guys. It's really just
a bunch
Lamar
of
Jackson.
Old guys. That's right. A bunch of old guys. You know, the Ravens backfield looks like the old waiver wire in the beginning of the year. That's what it looks like. It's like, you know, what does the waiver wire look at the end of the 2020 season? Now it looks like these guys, Le'Veon Bell, Freeman, Latavius Murray. That's what it is. It's like they decided to just spend all their fab. And that's the backfield right now. When it comes to pricey tight ends, look, I'm going back to the Kyle Pitts well. Now, last week, you could say, oh, it was a huge disappointment. It was, because he only had, what, 3 points or whatever. It was terrible. But you're talking about a linebacker core with the Carolina Panthers, with Burns, with Haason Reddick, with guys who can really cover, really get out there, and have great speed, okay? New Orleans, although a very good defense, you could throw the ball in New Orleans. And there's vacated targets now with Calvin Ridley. And more specifically on DraftKings and on FanDuel, Kyle Pitts at 5,900 is still a really good value, and I'll tell you why. He is closer in price to Mark Andrews, who is only $400 cheaper, than he is to Travis Kelce, who is over $1,000 more expensive. So if I'm going to pay up for a premium at tight end, especially on DraftKings, I'm going to pay up for the guy who I think has similar profile to Kelce and a better matchup than people realize, because you'll look at New Orleans and say, wow, a really good defense, but they're 22nd against the pass. So to me, you automatically kind of go towards that. And you say, well, this is a great opportunity here where maybe people will cheap out on tight end. Pitts is worth paying up for. More on DraftKings and FanDuel this week, but that's the setup there. And look, you'll see Gage, you'll see Zaccheaus, you'll see Cordero Patterson, you'll see Tajay Sharpe, apparently. I didn't know he was still around, but you get him too. So you're going to see all those guys. But I think you're going to see the most of Pitts here, especially after last week and that disappointing game for them. Meany, how about a tight end for you? Who would you want to pay up for a tight end, quote unquote?
I also think Pitch is a great tournament play, too. I wouldn't be too discouraged with last week. I mean, the volume is going to be there. And then you see the red six on DK is like a bad matchup, but the Saints haven't played any good tight ends. This is going to be by far the toughest tight end they played. I'm going to steal a guy from you that I know that you like as a value, so my apologies there. But I'm going Dallas Goedert. I think, you know, if you want to go up to Kelsey and you want to pair Andrews to Lamar Jackson, I mean, by all means, go for it. For me personally, I'd rather spend up for an Eckler or an Adams and a Tyreek Hill, and then just try to find some value elsewhere at the tight end position. And I think this is still a good cash game play, and it's Dallas Goedert at 4-5 on DraftKings. And then on FanDuel, he's very affordable too. And, you know, it's a pretty good matchup here. So he's 6'2", so he's a little bit more pricey over there. But the thing that I've noticed with Dallas Goedert over the past couple weeks is certainly there's been no Zach Ertz. So we're seeing a little bit more of, you know, Dallas Goedert, the breakout season. He came off the COVID list a couple weeks ago and he basically played almost 100% of the snaps. He ran a route on 92% of Jalen Hurts' dropbacks. And then last week he had 7 targets, 6 grabs, and 72 yards. So week 7 was a season high for him. 5 catches. Mm-hmm. Tied a season high, 70 yards, season high. This past week, topped them all, right? Just 2 more yards, right, but 2 more targets and 1 more catch. He's basically playing 100% of the snaps here. I think Devontae Smith is in a tough spot against the secondary with LA, and you can run on LA. They're kind of allowing you to run on LA. But what I said also is they've really struggled so far this season to stop tight ends. They allowed the 4th most fantasy points to the position so far. Actually, the 3rd. The 4th, actually, the Eagles. But some big games there. I know Kelsey's a big part of that. But Njoku had a big game against them. 7 grabs, 149 yards. They kind of forgotten about him a couple times. There were some misassignments, and he took a couple. He took one to the house. It was a long catch. And then Mark Andrews the following week. So they've allowed 4 touchdowns to tight ends over the last 5 weeks. So Dallas Goedert, I think you can trust him in cash. I think the volume's going to be there. And he's getting targeted down the field, Joe. So I also think he makes for a good tournament play as well.
I would agree. And more to come on Goddard later, who's averaged 12.5 PPR points since Zach Ertz has left. So, you know, that'll get it done. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's like a cheaper version of Gesicki.
Sure.
Right, yeah. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Props Fantasy. Are you off to a slow start with your fantasy team and have that feeling of victory drifting away? Props Fantasy is here to get you back in the game. Sync your team from Sleeper, Yahoo, or coming soon ESPN, and get ready to win some money. Props Fantasy gives you the opportunity to cash in on the fantasy team you've drafted by competing in our weekly challenges against your league mates, the Props community, or even friends in other leagues. There is still a chance for you to win with the team that you've already drafted. Sign up with propsfantasy.com/pros to sync your rosters and start your first challenge today. Registration enters you into a chance to win an Aaron Rodgers signed helmet. So what are you waiting for? Head over to propsfantasy.com/pros right now. Again, that's propsfantasy.com/pros. And now, back to the action. All right, let's go to the value, guys. So now we're going to go to ShopRite. So we filled up our cart over at Whole Foods. So let's hang out at ShopRite for a little bit. We'll start at running back. For me, it's Damian Harris this week. And, you know, he's been my value guy quite a bit lately because, well, he's been a good value. He refuses to see a price increase. And this is a weird running back board. You know, it really is. James Robinson injury. You know, you got, you know, no more Derrick Henry to worry about, nah, his price. So you have a lot of these guys too, like even the Dalvin Cooks of the world who, you know, these great talents, but it's like, what are they at this point? How much are we going to pay for Nick Chubb? And I still love Nick Chubb, but do I want to get involved at 7,600? I might, but then I have to look a little bit further down. And I feel like as I look a little bit further down that once again, it's Damian Harris who kind of keeps popping up to me as a guy that is just reasonably priced, who I think has a good floor. He has touchdown equity. The Carolina Panthers, again, very good against the pass. We just talked about that with Kyle Pitts, right? They're really good, you know, but in terms of the run, they're mediocre. And this is a guy who the last 3 games, 100 yards, 106 yards, 80 yards. I mean, he is getting the carries, getting close to 20 carries almost now, last couple weeks in a row. And that's very important to me. It's that volume, and volume is king. It's 6,600 over on FanDuel. It's a very good investment as far as I'm concerned. And I understand he's not going to catch a lot of balls, but at 6K over on DK, it's good enough where you feel good about the investment. So who is a good value play running back in your opinion this week, Chris?
Yeah, I love the Harris call too. Man, you're right. It's such a, and this is my problem with this week, is I think the running back position, I have a hard time trying to really nail down some value. Like, is Aaron Jones at 7'2 of value? I mean, not really. Nick Chubb, you just kind of alluded to him at 6'7. You got Chuba Hubbard, but against your Pats, I don't think he's going to be very successful. Gaskin is not a guy that I don't think you can trust in cash. I think he's a great tournament play. So I got to go to Elijah Mitchell here. And honestly, I don't fully love it, but he's a guy that's getting opportunities. It's back-to-back weeks now with 18 carries, and he has 100 yards in each of those games. And you're seeing Arizona, the second most yards per attempt on the ground that they've allowed so far this season. This is a team that wants to run the football. We know this. It's Debo or it's Mitchell. That's really what we've seen so far from them this season. Trey Sermon's not a factor. They run a lot of two wide receiver sets. They want to get Kyle Juszczyk on the field to pave the way for their run game, and they do it very well. So you look at Elijah Mitchell. He's completed three games this season, really four, because he left late against the Eagles in week two. It wasn't a great day for him. He had 17 carries and 42 yards. He had a touchdown in that game. It got called back, and that's where he hurt the shoulder. And then in Arizona, he was a little bit limited there, but he had 9 carries for 43 yards. So he was a great in terms of yards per attempt. Was really strong, but 18 for 107 and another 18 for 137. I wish that he would catch passes like Damian Harris. I wish he would as well. But I think if you're a FanDuel player, like, these are guys that you could certainly play over there. Save yourself a little bit of cash. He's much better value on DK, but even at 7-1, I still like him to, you know, as a value overall. But I will say, you know, keep an eye on practice reports. You know, you see the questionable tag right there. All signs point to him playing this week. But man, if he doesn't play, then it would open up some value elsewhere. I also wanted to throw one other name at you, Joe. If there's no Josh Jacobs, Kenyon Drake against the Giants at 5-1, he'd be a pretty good value.
Yeah, especially on the DK side of stuff. And it's funny because you mentioned Mitchell, who was my guy last week, I believe, in this segment. He was either this segment or the GPP segment, one of the two, where I was in love with Mitchell against the Bears. And once again, that was one of those things you're a little worried about. It's the Bears, you know, defensively. How's that going to go? But it's so clear. I mean, even the first game against Detroit, 19 for 104, you know, when you jump ahead after the injuries and he gets straight again, everything gets healthy again against Indianapolis, 18 for 107, 18 for 137, the volume's there, but people, especially on DraftKings, will kind of not pay attention to him because, well, he doesn't catch the ball. He doesn't get a lot of targets. So what? He's put up 20 points. I don't care if he doesn't see a single target. Right. And there's 2 weeks in a row where he hasn't. just give me 20 points. It's fine. And I think that's a great opportunity because guys like him and Harris are cheaper because they don't have that all-purpose appeal. But you know what? It doesn't matter sometimes. You can't be a slave to that concept. So you got to, you know, understand that good backs are good backs. Touches are touches. Volume's volume. And touchdown equity is good. And both of those guys have it. All right. When it comes to wide receiver value, again, here we go. It's all about me and the Chargers this week. I'm really feeling those Chargers. I got to tell you, Meanie, I don't be trolling your Eagles, but Keenan Allen, he's at a good discounted rate, I think. 6,700 is a really good number for him. Put up 19 last week, and on the regular Fantasy Pros pod, I think it was a week or two ago, I was saying, look, he's a top 5-7 guy in targets on the year, but he's like a wide receiver 32. That's going to come together at some point. It's only so long you can keep those two numbers apart. And I think you're starting to see that together. And you're seeing Mike Williams kind of come back to the herd. Now you're starting to see Keenan Allen kind of assert himself. And that was always bound to happen, I think, in this offense over time. So to me, Keenan Allen's that guy who's just a really good value. He gets forgotten about, and he shouldn't be. Is there a wide receiver you feel good about this week as a value play?
Dude, I mean, I'm with you. You control the Eagles all you want. Keenan Allen is a phenomenal play. I'm surprised about the price. I mean, Mike Williams is more expensive than him, but he's going to see Darius Slay. And Darius Slay's had a pretty good season. I'm fine with Mike Williams in tournaments, but the Eagles are going to have their hands full with Keenan Allen, who's just been a target hog. You know, volume, this may seem a little weird to trust Amari Cooper in cash, because if you look at the game log, there's been some inconsistencies there with him. For the most part, though, he has given owners double-digit fantasy points all year. The big week one, which is 41, and that's kind of what he does. It's like boom or bust, and week two and three was bust, but it's been at least 10 points in four straight, 15 in three of the four. Dak looked like he was good to go last week. Honestly, I was surprised. I know that they're looking at the big picture, and Dallas is legitimate this year, honestly. Dak is playing really good football. The defense is playing good. there was really no need to rush him. But man, I watched him on warmups. I don't agree with Chris Collinsworth all that often, but I agree with what he said. I'm surprised that this guy didn't play. He looked 100%. He was running around doing his thing before the game, and I think that's huge for Amari Cooper. I know the Denver Broncos have been good at eliminating points this season, but I think it's a little skewed because I don't feel like they've played too many great teams. We saw Derek Carr go in and light them up earlier in the season. They had a really cakewalk schedule for the first couple weeks, and they played a Washington team that's just broken on offense. This Dallas team has it. I just like the price, man. At 5'7", I think he's mispriced on DraftKings. He was up at 6'8 at one point. Last week, he was 5'1", and with Cooper Rush there, he had 8 grabs and 122 yards and a score. I think Dallas probably puts up 24-plus points here, and I think I'm going to take the value on Amari Cooper.
Cooper was my second choice. He was the guy that I was going back and forth with.
Makes you feel better.
Well, hey, same thing you said. It's like every now and then you get a little worried about it, but you know, at the end of the day, you look up and the touchdowns are there, you know, and those moments, and a healthy Dak goes a long way too if we get that this week. Quarterback, speaking of quarterbacks, Herbert for me. Once again, if I like Keenan Allen, then I got to like the value over there with Justin Herbert. And look, I know the last few weeks have been less than inspiring for Herbert, who was like a house of fire a couple weeks ago. People, oh, he's MVP, right? Oh, it's unbelievable, right? He puts up, 398 yards against the Browns and 4 touchdowns in that that was such a fun game. That was that and the Cowboys-Patriots game were probably the 2 most fun games of the year, I think. But man, let me tell you, last 2 weeks against Baltimore, 12 points, and then against the New England Patriots after that, 15. That's not great. It's not what you want. We break the cycle here. I think we break the cycle. And I know the Eagles are the 8th ranked pass defense. I get that. But I think Herbert's a little due. I think it's a good opportunity here for them. So I like Herbert as a good value because, once again, the price is right. It's at 7,600. When you go below this area, quarterback is ugly fast. Like, I do not like these guys. In fact, when you look at guys like Bridgewater and Garoppolo, who are only like $500 difference than him on FanDuel, I have a hard time not just taking that $500 and spending it on Herbert because he's just a far better option. When it comes to quarterback, it looks like you might have somebody, Chris Meany, on the flip side of this game.
Yeah, I'm going to stay inside the same game because I do believe the Chargers are going to light up the Eagles. One more thing. I don't know if I told you this on Mean Streets, but I think like the first 1,200 games that the Eagles played, they allowed 8 quarterbacks to have an 80% completion rate against them. Over the last 5 games this season, 4 quarterbacks have had an 80% completion rate against them. A 74% mark right now. The record is 72. They may hold the record this year because I don't see them stopping a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, Derek Carr was basically perfect against them a couple weeks. They own the line of scrimmage against Detroit last week, but they're gonna struggle to get pressure after Justin Herbert. So I think he's gonna torch them. So I want to go the other way, and I'm also with you. I just don't see a lot of value. If Taysom Hill does play, I may roll the dice on him at 5'5" because of his rushing upside. I may get involved, but I see Trevor Lawrence, who I've taken shots on, but I don't want to against Buffalo. Daniel Jones is interesting to me at 5'8" or 5'6". I don't want to go Matt Ryan against the Saints. I just don't really trust him. We'll get to another quarterback that I think you like later on that I think is a terrific value. But Jalen Hurts, I mean, 24 fantasy points. He just had his worst start ever, but he only threw the football 14 times. They ran all over Detroit. Teams have run all over them all season long. They're the leaders in yards per pass attempt. So they've really just, they didn't have to do a whole lot. I mean, 9 for 14. I mean, it seems like a pretty decent day. 64% is one of his better marks. I mean, Hurts hasn't been all that accurate of a quarterback, but he's going to have to throw the football this week. They're going to have to. I'm sure Boston Scott's going to get his targets. He may catch a few, or get his carries rather, run on the Chargers, get a few catches out of the backfield. But I do believe Jalen Hurts is going to be, you know, throwing the football 30 plus times, like Dallas Goedert. So I'm going to roll with Jalen Hurts. I think he is still a value, Joe, at 6'7". I mean, we've seen him up at the 7-point mark over on DraftKings. And then on FanDuel, I mean, for the most part, when I find I play over on FanDuel, you know, the guy who has the most fantasy points is that quarterback because, you know, over there, I think people get a little bit different with running backs because it's that not that full point setting. But if you have the quarterback that kind of has that day, it's a big part of that winning lineup. So I'm going to roll with just that rushing floor and just hope that the game script that I'm painting in my picture, you're in the Chargers. I'm thinking that they're going to
have
to throw
the game, football. I'm in this game, Meany. You mentioned that, you know, you had Goddard already and I have him later on here. Talk about it a bit. You're talking about Hurts. There's another running back I'm going to talk about too. I already talked about Eckler. I'm just in on this game. This game feels like this could be one of those ones today where, you know, it's like, all right, on Sunday, this is going to be it. And to that same point you're making about the quarterbacks on FanDuel, too, if you get it wrong, it's crushing. Like Matt Ryan was wrong last week and 8 points killed your lineup. That's it. Like you're over. It's done. Trevor Lawrence did not have the game that we hoped he might be able to have coming off the bye. That was not the game we were hoping for, right? So if you get it wrong, equally kill you. So build that floor on FanDuel. Listen to Chris Meany. He's not just a pretty face, okay? He knows what he's talking about when it comes to this stuff. Tight end value to me, Mike Gesicki. It's against Houston. Nice. Great matchup. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Dolphins coming up in a second, but all the shares of this Dolphins offense against a Houston team that's absolutely just dreadful. They got nothing. I'm sorry. Houston's got nothing. And I think they're going to, you know, fold up the tents pretty soon here. But Gesicki, once again, it's that consistent volume you're always looking for. I think it's actually a good thing that they're getting Parker back and he's been healthy again because
yes,
the more you can stretch the field, the more there's underneath for you. Now, it does take a little target share away. Don't look too much into last week. It's the Buffalo Bills secondary. Okay, Buffalo Bills secondary is one of the best secondaries in football. Don't worry about that. Look everything before that, where you're seeing 7 for 8 for 85, 8 for 9 of 115. That's the Gesicki we'll probably see more of against Houston this week. Who is your tight end there you like this week as a good value?
This may be gross, but let me walk you through this one, Joe. Let me walk you through
No. So I love it. I already tell you. I know it is.
You like it?
I love it.
Dan Arnold.
I don't like it. I love Dan Arnold. Let's go.
Oh, let's go. Let's do it. I mean, LaVisca is nowhere really to be found. Agnew had double-digit targets, was running more routes. but you know, Buffalo with Tre'Davious White, and I'm feeling like Marvin Jones is in a bad spot this week. I think he's a sit. It's really not a great spot. I mean, the Bills have been good. They're among the leaders in just eliminating passing yards, completion percentage. They haven't played a lot of good teams, and here's another one on the slate where they're probably really going to have their way with Trevor Lawrence, who has looked like a rookie, I'll admit it. But 10 targets, 8 grabs, 68 yards. You know they're going to be playing from behind. Last time I checked, they're 14.5-point dogs here at home. 2 weeks ago, he had 8 targets. They just utilize the tight end inside this offense. We've seen it before. James O'Shaughnessy earlier in the year had a career day. He suffered the injury. Then they went out and acquired Darren Arnold. He was there for basically a minute, and they threw him in, and they gave him a couple looks against the Bengals on Thursday Night Football. They gave him 2 targets and 29 grabs. Over the last 4 weeks, he is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th in targets among tight ends. But when you start to eliminate guys, for example, no Hockenson on this slate. Kelsey's number 1. Your guy Gesicki's number 2. Mark Andrews is number 3. Noah Fant, who just went in COVID protocol, is in there, so he's off there. Ricky Seals-Jones is next. He's on a bye. And then Kyle Pitts. So when you look at this slate alone, this is a guy who is 5th over the last 4 weeks in targets. And that's really saying something for a guy who just got on the team, not to mention his team was on a bye in week 7. So that's just 3 games in there over the last 4 weeks, and he's among the leaders at the tight end position in targets. So I just got to go with Darren Arnold, and I'm expecting at least 6 targets from him. So that's pretty decent from the tight end spot.
What do we always like to say? The free square. He's a free square. Yeah. I mean, and it's funny because he's a free square price, but because he's 3,400 on DK, right? But what Chris is talking about is actually just a good value. Like that's also a good value. It's not a shot in the dark free square where you roll the dice and see what happens. He's making a case for the target share, and it's a great one. There's no way around that. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Pristine Auction, the only place to go to get all that cool stuff for the man cave, for the lady cave, the she shed, or just a nice gift because the holidays are coming. That's right. Pristine Auction is the spot where you can bid on the most amazing sports memorabilia, everything from football, baseball, basketball, college sports, wrestling, Marvel stuff, you name it, they've got it over there at Pristine Auction. All you got to do is visit pristineauction.com, put in the promo code FANTASYPROS, that's all one word, when you register for free, FANTASYPROS, get a $5 credit on us when you do, and start bidding. Everything there is backed up with that authenticity guarantee. Things there are affordable too. Things aren't necessarily all thousands of dollars, but if you want to be a big spender, you can. And Pristine Auction, it doesn't cost you anything to start bidding. So what are you waiting for? Head over now to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com and get all that cool stuff now before someone else does. And now back to the action. All right, let's switch gears now. And here we go. It's time to go shop local and support. We're going to go to the local farm stand. We're going to go pick out, you know, try on the best fruit we possibly can. Some of the best vegetables we got. I'm going to start at RB and I'm going to go with Boston Scott against the Los Angeles Chargers. Why? It's hard not to imagine him getting 13 carries and a touchdown in this game. It just feels like that opportunity is there. The Chargers, we all know, are not great against the run. Boston Scott was getting run. I think we only saw Jordan Howard because that game was getting so out of control and wacky. I think we'll see more Boston Scott in this one. And I'm telling you, this is a game to be on. I love it. That's where I want to go. So it's a gamble because it happened last week. Do we trace last week? Yeah, I think we do. Against the Chargers, we do. If it wasn't the Chargers, I might not feel this way, but it is. So I feel this way. Who is your guy that you want to take a gamble on this week?
You know, I'm changing it up. You see on the dock, I like Nick Chubb. I'm fine to roll Nick Chubb, I think, because you and I are such Nick Chubb fans that...
Oh, it's going to be good this week. You know it is.
Yeah,
you know
it's don't you feel you get all those questions? Like, I got more questions, too, like worries about Nick Chubb. Dearness Johnson's going to play that Kareem Hunt role. But still, Chubb had 16 carries for 61 yards. He wasn't efficient. He went up against a tough Steelers defense. He caught a pass. But also, he closed out that game. It wasn't Dearness Johnson. Johnson had the touchdown. But Chubb is still a guy that I'm always interested in him in tournaments. I always want to gamble on him because I look at our FTM projections. He's always sub 10. Nobody wants to play him over at DraftKings because he gets the full point for a catch. He's in a decent spot here, I think, against the Bengals at 6-7. But I'm going to change here on the fly and throw one more at you here because okay. I think you like this game a lot as well. And what about Myles Gaskin in this spot?
All of the Dolphins.
This is an interesting game, too.
I'm in.
It's an interesting game as well. Yeah, Myles Gaskin. So he had 15 carries against the Falcons, which was more than he had combined in his three previous games combined. Malcolm Brown on IR. Ahmed's getting a few carries here and there. But the last 2 weeks, he's had 27 carries. He hasn't been super efficient with those. He has topped 100 yards with those carries, but he's also had some targets. I agree with you. It's great to have Parker back inside this offense. Gesicki, Waddle. He may not get 5 or 6 targets, but you can run on the Texans. This is one of the games where Miami's almost favored by a touchdown here. So I think that maybe if they get up, they could lean on the run here a little bit. If he can get you 3 or 4 grabs, if he can get you a goal line carry or two, maybe he can find the end zone. So at 5'8", I'm certainly willing to roll the dice on him. But I wanted to throw Nick Chubb in there and get your thoughts on Chubb as well, because I know you hear the same noise, Joe. For one of the best running backs in the NFL, when you look at the pricing board and you see Chubb down sub 7K, he's always appealing to me in tournaments.
Oh, me too. And look, I support the Nick Chubb situation 100% here. And it's like the perfect storm because that was an in-division game, which is always tough anyway, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, always tough. And a situation where it's his first game back from an injury, and the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is really coming together. Watts played out of his mind. Schobert's played very well. Like, I mean, come on. That's a no-brainer. Like, that game, even if Chubb wasn't hurt, or there's no influence for me, at least, watching that game. That was great defense and a great game plan and a very stoppable Browns offense where Baker Mayfield clearly is not healthy and the ball's not moving very well there. So I don't think it's going to quite be the case in this game, right? Like, I think Nick Chubb has a much better opportunity in this game. And you're right. Now the price comes down. Now the roster percentage comes down. It's the perfect tournament play. What is it, 7,600 if memory serves on FanDuel this week? I got to double check that, but I think it's around that price. But yeah, I mean, it's just, 7,600. Just why not? Let's go. And going back to the Miami Dolphins, Waddle and Parker. I mean, if you want to play the volume of Waddle and the upside of Parker, however you want to do it, however you want to get them in lineups, it's a gamble because you don't know which is going to have the big day. Could be both of them. To be honest, like, there's enough there for both of them together, but I want to go with at least one of them. I think it's a good opportunity here against Houston to kind of, you know, for Tua and company. And, you know, spoiler alert, I'll talk about Tua in a second, but I think this is a good opportunity for both those guys. Both are really cost effective, and I think both have upside of high-end wide receiver 2 productivity at nowhere near that cost necessarily. So give me those guys. Who's your wide receiver gamble this week, Chris?
And we were going right back to, have we talked enough about the Chargers and the Eagles here yet?
Nope. I mean, we'll talk about it some more later. It's going
to
be fun.
We could go right back to it. So I wrote up Mike Williams as a buy low because sometimes I get my buy low candidates and my DFS under the radar plays from just people asking me these questions like, what do I do with Mike Williams? And I have to think for a second, what do you mean? What do you do with Mike Williams? And then you look and you're like, okay, 22 points, 22, 36, 2, 39, 4, and 3. So this guy has been, he's been held under three catches in three of his past four. He does have a pretty tough spot here against Darius Slay. But like I said, I think good offense beats, you know, good defense. And I think that this is a pretty good get right spot for the Chargers. Everybody, Austin Eckler, Justin Herbert, just gave you the stats earlier about, you know, the 80% completion rate that they've allowed in quarterbacks. Eagles have given up some big chunk plays as well. You know, the problem is, it's like, they give the run and they can't stop it, and then all of a sudden they sell it to give the run, and then it's boom. It's like it's just in their own end zone. So for Mike Williams at 7-1, I don't think he's going to be owned. I mean, you look at the wide receiver cornerback matchup tool against Darius Slay. It's not a great. It's like I said, it's a bottom 10 matchup here. So for Mike Williams, if you're just looking at the back of the football card, you know I think a lot of people will avoid him overall. But I think he's a decent little tournament play. And you know what, Miami. Just to talk more about Miami. And they are super interesting this week, and there's so much value with their squad that it can allow you to, if you wanted to game stack this one, Philly and LA, you could, or go to Green Bay and KC, and man, it kind of fits like a glove, dude.
It does.
With all that value. It
does. You're 100% right. When it comes to quarterback this week in the tournament, it's Tua, for all the reasons that we just talked about, right? It's a good matchup here against Houston. And I think there's also, you know, after all the trade talk and all the trade deadline stuff with Deshaun Watson that did not happen, isn't it ironic, don't you think, Chris Meany, that we come here the week of the trade deadline passing and look who comes into Houston to play? Oh, it's Tua. Isn't that kind of interesting there?
Yeah.
I think Tua is going to show a little something. I really do. I think he's that kind of personality. It feels like he's that kind of dude, and I think this is going to be a good matchup for him. And I'm hard-pressed to find a cheaper quarterback that I like this week. Like, it's tough. Hurts, Herbert, Allen, like, those are kind of the guys we were talking about. They're all, like, that mid to high range. If you want to do Mahomes and Rodgers, okay, that's fine, too. There's obviously more risk there than usual. But I don't know, man. I keep landing on Tua as that guy that I feel like, you know, some people just, you know, not buy in or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think the stats, I think he could put up 20 points, and if he could do that, at that price that he's at this week, I think it's a good return. Who's your quarterback that you want to gamble on this week in GPP?
So if Taysom Hill is active, guys, I will roll him out, like I said, in a tournament and gamble on him. But I, you know what? This doesn't really feel like a huge gamble, but I don't think a lot of people are going to be in on Joe Burrow. He's kind of in that price range where he's like 6'8", where you could get up to Justin Herbert. You could spend another $500 to get to Lamar Jackson, or you could go down a little bit to get to Jalen Hurts. If you wanted to kind of run it back with some Baltimore guys and Kirk Cousins, you could do that. But for Joe Burrow, you see the matchup against Cleveland, a division game. We just talked about it, how those games could get super ugly. But this is a Browns team that's, you know, they're pretty depleted right now. And yeah, they played okay last week against Big Ben. I'm not impressed with Big Ben ever. It's been years since I've been impressed with that guy. So you just look at some of the passing yards, like Mahomes, obviously. I mean, he struggled lately, but he had a big day against them. 333 and three touchdowns. Davis Mills and Justin Fields didn't do a whole lot, but they're still, even with those two dud games, and they were dud games because Fields had 68 passing yards and Davis Mills had 102, they still are allowing the fifth most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Justin Herbert, 398 and four touchdowns. Kyler Murray had four touchdowns. Teddy Bridgewater threw for two touchdowns. And even Big Ben, like, kind of all over him here, but he still had 266 passing yards. So for Joe Burrow, I think maybe people will be off of him, maybe off of that game in general, but it could be a good fantasy game for Chubb. And then maybe bringing it back with some of these pass catchers in Cincy. Burrow's thrown at least two passing touchdowns in every game, at least three and three straight. He's throwing the football a little bit more. They kind of eased him into throwing the ball because maybe the knee injury. But at the start of the season, it was a lot of mixing. But over these past couple weeks, they've been throwing the football. So I think Joe Burrow, you know, Ja'Marr Chase can be pretty popular all the time. But don't ignore T. Higgins. He's still a big part of this offense as well. And Chase is going to start to get these double teams, right? We talked about Pitts and, you know, people playing over the top on him. This will happen here with Chase, and it'll leave some soft spots. If you wanted to go, maybe a T. Higgins, Joe Burrow stack in tournaments, I think it could pay off.
All right, my GPP tight end is Dallas Goedert, because I think if you just throw a touchdown on all the stuff that Chris Meany was giving you before when he was breaking out Goddard, you have yourself a really good day with Dallas Goedert. Yeah. And now that Ertz is gone, it's good for everybody. It's good for Ertz, good for Goddard. Let's go. So I'm not going to, you know, double up too much on that. So Chris, let's jump to your tight end instead and talk about your GPP tight end of the week.
Yeah, the show is sponsored by the Powder Blue Charger jerseys. Jared Cook is another one in there. The Eagles allowing the fourth most fantasy points to tight ends. I haven't really liked the usage that he's gotten. I expected a little bit more, but Philadelphia has struggled significantly at the tight end position. Foster Moreau, 660 and a touch. O.J. Howard had 649 and a touchdown. Tommy Tremble found the end zone against them. Jody Forster from the backup tight end in KC. That dude had a touchdown. Dalton Schultz had two. So Jared Cook probably finds the end zone this week.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Air Med Care Network, your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, Air Med Care Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for the entire household, and right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to $50 in a gift card for Visa or Amazon with a new membership. AirMedCareNetwork.com/FantasyPros and use that offer code FantasyPros. No matter where you are in the game of life, Air Med Care Network memberships are the protection you need and you can't live without. Again, that's AirMedCareNetwork.com/FantasyPros. And now, back to the action. All right, let's jump ahead here and discuss our defense plays. Clearly, Buffalo. New England, I think, has a good matchup here as well. Sam Darnold has been struggling quite a bit. I also like Las Vegas this week. That's kind of my sneaky defense against the Giants. Jonathan Abram's done a really good job in that secondary. Perryman's been really good. Max Crosby's been pretty good this year. I think there's coming off a bye. There's a lot to like here, I think, with Las Vegas. Who are some of the defenses that you've got in mind this week?
Yeah, I mean, I know the Patriots are up at the top of the board. You know, with a lot of that Miami value, I think they're pretty good. I mean, Sam Darnold has really struggled so far this season. I mean, he started off good, but man, he didn't look good, you know, after that. I also think the Cowboys, too, against Denver. I think what I like in a defense is, you know, Dallas is going to score some points. I really do think that Dak's going to play, and I think they're going to score some points. And I think that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be forced to throw the football a little bit. You got Diggs there, who does seem like he's going to play this week. He's just been picking guys off each single game. But I think, you know, we're going to see a Teddy Bridgewater maybe drop back more than Denver would like him to. And I'm not sold on Teddy, man. I don't think he's looked all that good this season. So their defense that I have interest in. And also I'll throw out the Bengals because, you know, Baker and a lot of injuries going on there as well. I think Cincinnati, well, look, I think this is going to be a statement game
against
for them.
The Jets, right? I mean, come on, right, Chris?
I mean, they just beat their division rivals in Baltimore. They were feeling themselves at the top of the world. I think that they'll check themselves here, and I think it'll be another statement game because I do believe that they'll beat Cleveland this week.
All right. Another one I want to throw out there is the Packers defense, which I don't think a lot of people are going to be on.
Oh, yeah.
But let's be honest about KC right now. Let's be honest about Patrick Mahomes, their own picks. Let's be honest about a completely remade offensive line year over year from a Super Bowl team, which never happens. You never have five new offensive linemen from a team that went to the Super Bowl. It never happens in the NFL. Just for fun, if you look on DK for the points, last couple of weeks here, right, for the Packers, 7, 7, 7, 14, 8. It's pretty good on a $2,800 investment from the Packers. Just saying.
Yeah, it is. They're playing good football. And Mahomes, man, there's something going on. It's what we talked about earlier. Maybe they're a little cocky, a little stubborn, but also it just seems to be something, man. Like Kelsey and Hill, these guys are fumbling. Hardman, they're putting whoever's the running back's putting the ball on the ground.
You never see stuff like that. Like, that was never. Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just different times.
It's not their year, right? Yeah. They've had everything go their ways.
It's like Lebowski says, sometimes you eat the bear, sometimes the bear, he eats you. There you go. All right, let's talk about our stack of the week. No surprise here. I like the Chargers. I think you can go with the trio, too. You could go Herbert with Eckler and then throw in one of the wide receivers. Chris likes Williams for GPP. I like Keenan Allen for cash. Let's just go. You can even throw Cook in there if you prefer and get away from both wide receivers and still get exposure to it the way Chris was talking about as well in GPP. How about you, Chris? Who is your stack of the week?
Heck, you could throw Eckler in there to get really unique. Eckler could have two receiving touchdowns. That's certainly possible.
I like Herbert with Eckler together. Like, I'm all for that.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Which is something you don't always do. But I'm always of the mind of, like, when you have that blow-up game, everybody eats. You know, it's like the Daryl Henderson thing. It's like having Henderson, Stafford, and Kupp. If you do that most weeks, it's not bad. Like, you're pretty much loving life, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we haven't really talked a lot about the Bills, just Josh Allen. I mean, Jacksonville is atrocious. Buffalo scoring points. There's so many points. It's really hard to kind of pinpoint which running back, like both Moss and Singletary, could get double-digit carries. But I feel like if they're running out the clock, it's probably because Josh Allen had another four or five touchdown game, maybe three or four through the air. Maybe he runs one in again. And he, you know what? His wide receivers are pretty affordable. You know, you think Diggs at 7-7, but last year he was in the mid-8s. Just last week he was 8-1. I know he only has three touchdowns on the season. He's only averaging 70 yards, but he's affordable. And then you got Cole Beasley, who showed up in back-to-back weeks. Emmanuel Sanders, rather, he didn't do anything last week. He only had four targets. He had zero grabs. Big donut. So you can go back to him as people may be cautious about that. But Joe, he ran more routes than anybody in Buffalo. He played more snaps than anybody in Buffalo. He's a big part of this offense. He's a red zone threat for Josh Allen. They're targeting him deep down the field. I've been very impressed with Emmanuel Sanders. I didn't know that he had this much to offer this Bills team. But for the most part, the dude has been pretty consistent. 8 for 52, 6 for 48, 694, 674, 891, 554. That was just one, I think, what will go down as the outlier game last week.
Well, I hope so for your sake and Dan Harris's, because he absolutely loves Emmanuel Sanders. Oh, that's been his guy all year. Every draft, every mock draft, there's Emmanuel Sanders on his team every single time.
He's free.
I know. Speaking of locks, let's go to the lock of the week. Is Josh Allen for me. Let's go. And I don't need Sanders. I don't need Diggs. I don't need Davis. I don't need Moss. I don't need anybody. Just Josh Allen. Just Josh Allen scoring 30 points on his own against Jacksonville, a team that does not have an NFL game plan ready to roll out there. The fact that they went there to Seattle, you know what? Lawrence is playing good. I talked about this on the show last week, and they embarrassed me, and I take it personally right now, Chris, because last week, Lawrence is playing good 2 weeks in a row. Things are going in a better direction. You have a bye. You have extra time to prepare. You have a Seattle defense that's giving up a ton of yards, and you lay an absolute egg. I'm over it. It's done. It's done for me. Meanie, who's your lock of the week? Who are you going to?
I think they just got rattled without James Robinson. I honestly think that threw off their
entire game plan. You think that's all it was? I don't know.
I don't know. It's a lot of things with Urban Meyer, that's for sure. But you're right. It's extremely embarrassing, I really feel, for Trevor Lawrence. Austin Eckler, just to round out, right, the whole Chargers talk here. You liked him. You had all the stats. I don't really need to spend too much time. But, you know, inside the top 10 in rushing yards allowed, rushing touchdowns, the second most fantasy points to backs. I mentioned earlier, inside the top 10 in targets to backs, receptions per game, receiving yards. I think Philadelphia is going to have their hands full. With the Chargers team is coming off a pretty big loss. It was a great victory by your Pats. But, you know, a W that the Chargers really need this week. And I think, you know, this Eagles defense will get them right. Now Snackler will be a big part of it.
Yeah, but I think the Eagles are going to have some good fantasy numbers. I don't know if they're going to be pretty, but they're definitely fantasy numbers. I think they're going to be ugly fantasy numbers, but I want them anyway. All right, let's do the fantasy fly around, because as I teased before in the show, we got to talk about maybe some strange here. So we're going to get a couple things here. We talked about, let's first start here with Arizona and San Francisco. Look, this is an opportunity here. We've seen some games, too, in the past where Kyler Murray really, you know, shows himself well. We talked about Eli Mitch. We talked about Deebo Samuel. But let's talk about Kyler Murray for a second, who nobody's talking about. Hopkins has been banged up this year. He's dealing with injury issues, trying to play through them. But just like you can run Josh Allen by himself, you can run Kyler Murray by himself, too. Is there any appeal this week because of the injury? You know, because of maybe a down performance against the Packers where people might not be in on Kyler Murray, and this is a perfect opportunity to start being in on him?
Yeah, I think in tournaments, if you're playing in a tournament where you have more than three entries, like if you're, you know, playing at least five, I think, you know, you could have Kyler in maybe one of those. Yeah, I mean, you got the ankle injury. He's coming off his worst showing of the season. His second worst showing of the season once was against this San Fran team. But I agree with you. You can play him, you know, by himself. He's got all kinds of weapons. If Hopkins can show that he can, you know, practice at full maybe this week, that adds another element to what he can do. And guys are stepping in, right? Christian Kirk, AJ Green, Zach Ertz is a nice addition. You got Chase Edmonds catching balls out of the backfield. I don't believe in this Niners team. I think they're pretty overrated personally. So I'm always fine with Kyler. He's not running around as much as we've seen him in the past. But Joe, I think that's just because games haven't been competitive. They've been blown out a lot of teams.
Right.
So if this one does stay close, I think he'll run around a bit more.
I agree. I think that's 100% why. When some of the games were competitive, he was running around, but some of them have been blowouts, you know. Atlanta at New Orleans, we talked about the running backs here. We talked about Kyle Pitts. I don't think you can start a single wide receiver in this contest. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I was going to say, dude, I don't know what I like in this game.
Cordarrelle Patterson's a running back as far as his, you know, qualification on these things. Yeah. But as far as a wide receiver, I can't get to any of these guys. And I'm not going to chase it. Like, people want to chase the Calvin Ridley stuff. People want to chase somebody. They want to chase, like, Tre'Quan Smith last week or whatever it is. I don't care if it's Simeon. I don't care if it's Taysom Hill. I ain't chasing one of them, dude. Are you?
No, I'm not. I just don't see where the upside is. The Saints are playing at such a slow pace. They have these long drives so far this season. And if it is Taysom Hill or if it is Simeon, they're just going to run the rock, play at that slow pace. That's kind of why I was interested in Kamara. But I just don't see where the ceiling is. Their defense is playing really good in New Orleans. And for Atlanta, Matt Ryan's not playing great. The offensive line is not playing good. I mean, what's really the ceiling here for Cordarrelle Patterson? I know he's had some big ceiling games, but a couple catches of the backfield, no efficiency at all on the ground. Nah, this is one of those games that I've really
Patterson
kind of
crossed off. As a running back on DK, I'm in for. Like, because
sure, because he catches, he's passes.
Right, he's catching the balls. Right, I mean, that's fine. Like, that's all I need from him. I think mm-hmm. he can continue to do that, then I'm a happy camper. I mean, even last week wasn't a good day for the Falcons. He still had 18 points and full PPR.
Good call.
You just look around there. Like, but he's a running back, so I'm going to stick with that whole concept. I'm not going to start a single wide receiver. I'm not even going to look their way. Buffalo, Jacksonville, we think Buffalo's going to crush them. Is there any love besides for Dan Arnold for Agnew? Is there any love? Because he is another free square guy. He is very cheap this week. Or even somebody like Marvin Jones, where they're just trying to play catch up late and sling the ball around. Agnew is 4,300. Marvin Jones is 5,700. But Agnew's pretty cheap.
Yeah, Agnew is pretty cheap. Jake seems to like this guy quite a bit. He says he's the top
him.
30.
If Jake
yeah,
likes
I know,
him,
right?
I
Jake says he's... He says, me, top 30 wide receiver since week 5. Who is it? I don't know, Jake. That could be anybody.
Jamal
Agnew.
Stuff like that. Like, that's
I know, like,
random.
Like, come on, man. Way to make me feel like this. He's like, no, you know this answer. You know it. You talked him up last week. And it's like, okay, well, thanks. You gave me that. You gave that to me. But, I mean, you just threw me there for a loop at first. But, I mean, 12 targets last week certainly is something. As 6 the week before that, 7 the week before. So, I mean, quick math, is 25 targets for this guy in the last 3 games and at least 5 grabs in those 3. Double-digit fantasy points in the last 3, you know that they're going to be playing from behind. And if there's no James Robinson, if he can't go, I can't imagine they're going to get much from Carlos Hyde. I'd rather Jamal Agnew than Marvin Jones. He's going to avoid White. He can kind of attack the Bills in the middle of the field. It's kind of their soft point. So I lean him.
All right, Cleveland, Cincinnati, we did talk about. We talked about Chubb for a fair amount. We did touch, I think, a really good job of talking about Burrow and Higgins and Jamar Chase and that whole trio of things. But outside of Chubb, you know, Cleveland right now, another team too, is kind of an enigma. Like, this is a hard pass for me on this entire Cleveland team right now, the way they're playing, which is never an offense really going after. But I do think Chubb is good. I don't want to spend too much time on this one. I said I want to move to Denver and Dallas because this one is fascinating to me too. Last week I was in on that value of Jerry Jeudy. Again, I think it's going to take a little time to ramp up Tim Patrick if you're having a good game. I think I want to go back to the Jerry Jeudy well again. And maybe I'm just a sucker. Maybe I don't know. But there's something about the player, the talent, and the price that's all kind of coming together for me a little bit. 5,800 over on FanDuel. He's cheap on DraftKings as well. Meany, would you be looking at all at Jerry Judy's way this week against Dallas? Because you can throw on Dallas.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. In the doc, I went Mike Williams, Jerry Jeudy, Mike Williams. So I'm definitely in on Jerry Jeudy. I kind of backtracked a little bit there. Yeah, I saw what you saw last week, you know, a little bit limited there, but still a pretty solid game from him. You know, he's reeled in basically everything that's been thrown his way so far this season. I know it's a 2-game sample size, but last year he just, you know, he was used differently. He had a high A dot. There was no Sutton. This time around, they're kind of playing him in the slot. He's going to avoid Diggs. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at 5K, why not? Because you're right. They're going to have to throw the football, and you can throw on Dallas.
All right, so here's one of the strangers. You ready, everybody? Green Bay, Kansas City, okay? Kansas City's been bad. I feel like it's worth doing that old-school Kansas City stack, the one where everyone's been left for dead. Everyone's freaking out about the Chiefs, as they should, but it's not very often you get this kind of talent out there with such a low roster percentage. the old school, like, let's load them up with Chiefs and see what happens. They know how bad they've been. They know that they yeah. just, you know, played on a on a Monday night, and, you know, it's a shorter week. All these things and all this stuff, but I think there's something about, like, maybe when Aaron Rodgers and the Packers come to town, that maybe, just maybe, one of the ways in a tournament you could win this week is to invest in the old school Chiefs, which would be cash game central from the years 2019 on. But for some reason, this year has not been the case. I feel like this is one of the ways you might be able to make money this week. Because it's, I mean, how often do you get this, right? Where you get that nobody's really on the Chiefs anymore, Chris.
No, they're not. I mean, Mahomes is 20. He had 24 fantasy points in his last two games. I mean, this is a guy who usually averages. I mean, he is averaging 24 fantasy points per game, and he only had 24 the last two. Yeah, it's been really magnified, the turnovers and everything. But you're right. I mean, it is. It's, you got the Packers here coming to town. They're rolling. It's time to kind of play up to the competition. Maybe they play down to it a little bit in Washington, and they really struggled against the Titans. And then the Giants, everybody saw it firsthand, is a team that, again, really struggled. But we know what they're capable of. People are really not going to be in on them. Yeah, the full-on stack, and heck, there's a lot of guys that you can bring it back with on the other way. We talked about Adams, and I also really like Aaron Jones this week. I mean, because Kansas City hasn't really stopped the run. They're giving up a lot of points. That's what makes this stack so appealing as well, is that they seem to always be playing from behind and playing catch up.
All right, Houston and Miami and Los Angeles and Philly, we've talked about a lot, so I don't want to belabor those. Let's instead jump to Las Vegas and the Giants here. Again, very weird one. I'm glad you mentioned that whole thing, too, about potentially Kenyon Drake. I think a lot of people this week, too, will be looking about, okay, without Henry Ruggs, where do the targets go to? Would you be elevating Hunter Renfrow? Would you be elevating Bryan Edwards? Or is this just, it's not that simple? You know, I always call it lazy fantasy, but I know a lot of people are going to be out there asking about it, so I think it bears witness.
Yeah, both, actually. I think this is going to be, this is Bryan Edwards' offense now. You know, obviously you got Darren Waller there, but he's not 100%. Maybe the bye week, he didn't play against the Eagles, then he had the bye. Maybe he could, you know, step up and be okay. The Giants have struggled against tight ends at times so far this season. But Hunter Renfrow shouldn't be forgotten about. I think, honestly, you know, you could play him in cash. I do believe that at 4-8. This is a guy who's had double-digit fantasy points in every single game but one this season. And he's actually been a target hog. 8, 9, 7. He's had at least eight 4 times this season, and at least 5, 7 times. It's pretty significant. He seems to be the guy that Derek Carr throws to on third down. And, you know, since John Gruden left, we're seeing this offense kind of be unleashed. Obviously, it's going to change a little bit with no Ruggs. But what I noticed when there was one game that was mic'd up and Greg Olsen was telling, you know, some guys in the team that, you know, especially Derek Carr, we're going to unleash some guys inside this offense now. We're going to throw the football a little bit more. So the Giants have given up some big plays. They held their own against KC. Maybe that was more on KC on Monday night. But Hunter Renfrow is a guy that I do expect to get right around 7 to 8 targets, catch 6 or 7 balls, get you double-digit fantasy points. And Edwards is that tournament guy that maybe, you know, we've seen him get used a little bit more early on in games lately. So maybe he could get 6 to 7 targets as a deep threat guy. He had a red zone target against the Eagles, which he converted for a touchdown. But I think the safe play is safe play Renfrow, tournament gamble would be Edwards.
All right. Not a lot to like in the New England Carolina game. Just, you know, this feels like a 19-13 kind of game written all over it. So I instead want to talk about Minnesota Baltimore. And once again, this is strange number 2. So mark it on your papers. And if you're playing bingo, let's see if you get it here, because Minnesota is so Jekyll and Hyde, Chris. Every single week, you don't know who's going to show up. And they laid a turd this week, which means Minnesota this week is a team that you should circle, because literally we have not mentioned one player. I think this, we have not talked about anybody, right? I think I said the name Dalvin Cook in passing, but Cook, Cousins, Jefferson. Thielen, Jefferson. If you're looking for a stack that nobody else is playing, I guarantee you it's Minnesota on the road this week. Right, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. Jefferson's another guy that I was thinking about as an underrated guy as well. And you know what? Baltimore is pretty surprised looking into some of their numbers. They've allowed the most passing yards. They're in the bottom 10 in pass DVOA. They've allowed the fifth most passing yards of 20-plus yards. Like, you can throw on Baltimore. Teams have thrown on them. I mean, we saw Joe Burrow do that. He struggled early on in that game, but he really threw all over them. Yeah, Minnesota's one of those teams that I can't really figure out. I just, you know, they put up a bunch of points against Carolina and then Dallas. Like, they can't even win that game with no Dak, and they looked awful on offense. So yeah, it's all about recency bias. What have you done for me lately? Jefferson and Cook did nothing last week, and everybody saw it on primetime. So I think both of those guys, and even Kirk Cousins, man, if you want to do a Cousins with Jefferson or get Thielen involved there, you know, I think it makes a lot of sense.
100%. He's Chris Meany, everybody. Make sure you go follow him on the Twitter machine at Chris Meany. And of course, check out Mean Streets, his show over there at FTN. Meany, I know it's hockey season for you too. I don't know how you do it all, my friend. I really don't.
I don't either, actually. No, I'm just kidding. I enjoy hockey. Not that I don't enjoy football, but hockey just, fortunately for me, it just kind of, I don't feel like I do a lot of research. Check some box scores and watch a lot of hockey and, you know, just having fun with it over a new show with Eric Young, Dangle Bet Sally. We're having some fun with that hockey show twice a week. But
my boy,
appreciate
EY.
You. Yeah, EY's good, man. He's good people, as you know. But I appreciate you taking the time to have me on the show, man. Always love chopping it up with you. I can't wait to do it again.
And that's why we go long today, because you know what? When Chris Meany and I get together, you're going to get bonus coverage. That's what you get. I want to thank all the sponsors of today's show, including Air Medcare Network. Head over to airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use that offer code fantasypros. No matter where you are in the game of life, Air Medcare Network memberships are the protection that you need. Whenever a medical emergency arises. Also, don't forget about Pristine Auction, Pristine auction.com. Use that promo code FantasyPros. Get $5 on us and start bidding today for all that cool swag. And don't forget to sign up today at propsfantasy.com/pros. Sync your rosters and start your first challenge today at propsfantasy.com/pros. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Chris Meany, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.